Welcome everyone, this is the Soul Savage Show, every Thursday on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. And now it's that time for the Soul Savage Show with E.B. Kulin Green and Whitney. Welcome everyone.
Hey, Will, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good out in Southern California. Weather's been good, a little windy right now, but it's all good. Looking forward to a great show. I know you have a great guest on with you tonight. Looking forward to it.
Yes, and we're going to get right to it. Introduced our lovely guest that's on with us. She's a singer-songwriter. She's worked with so many great singers, nationally great artists. And we'd like to introduce you on the show, Miss Ava Monroe. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, we got that in the budget now, Ava. We got a.
I like that.
Yes, the class and everything. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Taking time out of your schedule to come on here. And also, we give appreciation to Mr. Big Jim Wright, rest on the hill. Fabulous producer, musician, arranger, everything. He's incredible. He produced that song by Patti LaBelle. So we're going to give a tribute to him all night. And so I'm going to start this off. Yes, yes, absolutely. I just want to get into how you came up musically. What was it that, I guess I should say, what do you remember most about music that made you want to sing, or that ability? Like, where did that come from?
Wow. What I remember most about music, I remember being a little girl. I remember growing up listening to the Clark Sisters, listening to Andre Crouch and Tata Vega, and being obsessed with Tata Vega as a little girl, and obsessed with the Clark Sisters. I heard You Brought the Sunshine when I was 3 years old, and it's still my favorite song of any song in any genre to this day. And I just, something about it, I just knew it just felt right. It just felt like there was something in me when I would hear music and hear singers, and And I was like, wow, I want to do that. I want to do that. And I would try to make my, like the vacuum cleaner. I'd stand behind the vacuum cleaner and try to make it my microphone stand. And it would never quite work right. But close enough. And I just, something about it, it caught me as a little girl. And I would, I grew up in a very God-fearing household. And, so, it, you know, listening to secular music wasn't promoted so much in our home when I was growing up, when I was little. So I would like sneak and, you know, listen to the radio and listen to, you know, that's how I get to listen to Layla Hathaway and, Janet Jackson and Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston and, you know, all the other people and, Luther Vandross and, you know, different Stevie Wonder and different people. And it just, I got the bug. I got the bug. I said, I want to do that. I want to write and I want to do that. So yeah.
Wow, it's so funny that every time I guess I'm just a heathen then, because I was listening to all that and still going to church. I didn't have no clothes. No, I didn't have any
I have
provision over my music selection.
See, and I'm just like, see, you know, when you grow up as a Kojic kid, like some of us, not everybody, but some of us Kojic kids, it's just like, you know, Kojic for Church of God in Christ.
Right.
It's just, you know, it just can be that way sometimes. You know, your parents are trying to, you know, they feel like, you know, you know, everything has to be, you know, a certain way, and they, you know, that you don't want to slip to the left, just right to the left. And so that's how, when I was very, very young, that's how I grew up. But I had to wear my mama down. Because when that Mariah Carey came out, and it was her first album, A Vision of Love, I was like, look, please. Like, literally, I remember, like, a lady actually after church was listening to her in her car. Her name was Diane, I remember. And she had the Mariah Carey cassette tape, and she knew how much I love Mariah, and gave me she convinced my mom to let me have the cassette tape. So that was, thank you, Diane, wherever you are, because that was the beginning to like everything. That's when the doors opened up and I was like, oh my
hilarious.
God, I remember. Yeah.
and so was it just in church, like that ability, that honing of your vocals, like when was it that, I guess I should say, the age to where you were like, I want to pursue this professionally?
Well, like, I knew that that's what I wanted to do, like, all my whole life. So, like, at three, I was like, I want to be a singer. Like, all, like, literally, like, they bought me my first mic. That was it. My mom had a trampoline, and I remember, just like, you know, one of those home trampolines, and it used to sit in our living room, and I would unscrew the legs, like, one of the legs off and use it as a microphone. So, like, I knew, like, really early on. And I was singing church and things of that nature, but so I always grew up knowing that's what I wanted to do. It wasn't until, I was about 11 years old, and my school, I actually happened to go to the same elementary school that Michael Jackson used to go to. And when he signed on to do the Super Bowl, he decided to come back to the school and have the kids that were in the chorus class sing with him at the Super Bowl. So my first, like, pro gig was with Michael at the Super Bowl. So that kind of, I mean, they literally would pull us out of, which is like literally, Lord, a dream. They would pull us out of class to go rehearse with Michael. So we would, you know, drive over to the Rose Bowl, and I just remember sitting there, like Indian style, like in front of the stage, and just like watching him rehearse Billie Jean. And honestly, then like hearing Billie Jean over like the Rose Bowl speakers, I think that did something a little extra. That was kind of the confirmation, if you will, like the, like, okay, yeah, no doubt about it, I gotta do this. Like, something about hearing it over that sound system and watching him, that solidified everything for me. So that for me was the turning point of like, oh yeah.
That's the moment right there that recognizes that Michael Jackson don't want you, make you want to sing. I don't know. It's kind of, you go in the line of questions I want to ask too, in terms of, how you got into, being a background vocalist. I know that's the way a lot of, solo singers, started, like, you know, like a Faith Evans, Kelly Price, Tata Vega, you know, like, as you mentioned before, you know, a lot of them are great. Lisa Fisher, you know.
Oh my gosh, loved her.
Amazing.
How Can I Eat the Pain? That was another one.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And so I wanted to know just that. See, people don't know we have a lot of listeners that are singers, background singers and musicians as well. So they are like getting into the root of, you know, music questions. I got a lot of music nerd questions. One I was going to ask, just to inform the people that don't know about background vocals, they don't know how hard it is, for one. Cause cause you gotta have that ear. It's something about the ear. And what I learned, I'm not a great lead vocalist. I can do background vocals. Cause I'm a musician as well. And sometimes I gotta do background vocals if there's not a background vocalist there at the show. And I'll just, like, I can do 3-part harmony, all that. So I learned my ear sort of, I forgot the word. We had a vocal coach on that said a word. That when you can hear the note where it's supposed to go before you even sing it. I wanted to know, like, did you learn any of those skills through church, or how was it that you honed that skill of being a background singer?
Oh, well, I did. I took voice lessons. Well, you know, like in school, I took, like, chorus, and I took voice lessons. I started voice lessons when I was, like, 12. And just really listening to a lot of different music. Of course, growing up in the church, that helped with, you know, those kind of soulful inflections and, you know, your soulful musical instincts. But just listening to everything. Like, I love, you know, I have a very eclectic style of music, and just listening to, or a very eclectic taste in music, rather. Just listening to everything from Aretha Franklin to Tori Amos. You know, just listening to everything. And I think that really helped. And, of course, taking voice lessons and learning how to harmonize and learning what to listen to and, you know, kind of the technical stuff behind it. Because background singing is its own discipline. And, you know, it's just its own. I don't think people really understand that. And every lead singer is not a good background singer. Just because you can sing doesn't mean that, you know,
right.
You're a
Yes, absolutely.
It's its own discipline. So, yeah, I think
right.
All those things prepared me for that.
And was Michael Jackson at that Super Bowl performance, was that your first introduction? You said that was your first one? What was that consistency of doing? Like, was it just starting out doing background vocals, or what was it that, I guess any other, gig that you did that, who you were singing for, who was the next artist, I should say, that you, did a gig for doing background vocals?
Okay, cause yeah, Michael, that was the first one, and so I was very young, and so that, I kind of got thrown into that. The first artist, once I became like an adult and all of that, I'm trying to think. Oh, goodness. I believe the first time, like the first pro, like, okay, this is what I'm doing, like, here we go. There's a singer by the name of Kayla Parker. She's passed on about maybe 12 years ago, actually. But she was an absolutely brilliant singer, and she had perfect pitch and one of those ears that she was an arranger. She worked with Brandy and Mary, and you know, the Clark. She actually worked with the Clark sisters, and did a lot of different things. She worked with Destiny's Child, she worked with lots of different people, lots of different artists, Brett Hammond, with a lot of different gospel artists and secular artists. And she is the first person that was like, you, I want you to be my background singer. And she took me under her wing and taught me so many things, so many. She was just a master vocal arranger. I mean, just a master. And so I learned so much from Kayla, and that was the first time that I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Like, this is what I'm, like, you know, getting paid to do. So that was my first professional, real deal gig. The second was a funny story. I was married at the time, and my ex-husband was a drummer, and he was playing at the time for Fantasia, and I had, you know, really like fallen in love with Fantasia, supported her on American Idol, like fallen asleep voting and all that, right? And so it was her first project, and I just remember sitting in front of the TV, and I was watching her on TV, and it's like something was saying, it was, you know, I know, you know, for those of us who are anybody that is a believer, you know, I know it was the Holy Spirit saying, you need to learn these songs. And I had no clue why.
Right.
And I happened to go with my husband at the time to the Ellen DeGeneres show, and I met Fantasia, and we had a great rapport, everything's fine, I'm hanging out in the green room. One of her background singers comes up to me and had never met me before, okay, and says, "So you're Ava?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am. You know, hi, nice to meet you." And she said, "So do you know Truth Is?" which was Fantasia's single that she had out at the time. And I said, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, only by the grace of God, because he told me this word of the song. And I'm like, "Yeah, I know Truth Is." And she said, "Well, good, because I need you to take over some of my gigs. And, yeah, Saturday you're doing TV with Fantasia, so I'm glad you know Truth Is." So that is how I started singing. I did background for Fantasia for a minute. So, I mean, I just kind of, my life kind of works in that way where I kind of get thrown into things. So that Saturday I was singing background for Fantasia. So, that's just another, kind of start to my background singing career that I remember that I just absolutely loved singing with her and spending time with her. She's an amazing singer, as we all know, and an amazing person.
Wow, see, it's so amazing, like, how, like, it's always by chance. It's always a moment, because we had a musician on the same thing, how he got to be a pianist for Adele, and he just said he was in a lobby playing, and then somebody that works in her camp, like, said, was asking him questions about his musical knowledge and can he, like, does he know how to read music and stuff like that. And then he didn't even know who Adele was. It's just, like, stories like that. It's, like, it's always by chance, like, you know.
Yeah, you don't know.
That's all it is. It's just those one. And then also that you're, the preparation that you did, like, you were already prepared. So when opportunity came, it just, it's so dope.
Because you don't know, you don't know the awesome things God has in store when you leave the house. You don't know.
Right.
Because I just thought, you know, I'm just here chilling. I'm happy to be, you know, being able to, because I love watching people rehearse, and I loved Fantasia, and I'm just, like, pumped, you know, pumped to watch her rehearse, and, you know, just hanging out in the green room, minding my own business, and I did not know I was going to leave with a gig, and she's like, yeah, right. Let me hook you up with the label, and so they, you know, so it was, you know, an ongoing thing for a while. She was actually, I think she was a Jehovah's Witness, so she couldn't work on Saturdays. There was something going on with all of her Saturday gigs, so by the grace of God, you know, she gave them to me, so.
Right.
A lot of experience in doing, because we did television, we did Soul Train, we did a lot of Nickelodeon things, and so that was my, up until then I had only done, you know, like, you know, live shows and things of that nature, so this was my entrance into really doing TV and figuring out what that's about and loving doing that.
And so going along with that, it's so many differences with like doing live shows and doing TV. Television work. I want to know what's your experience like? Because I know you've been on the Grammys. You performed with certain artists on the Grammys. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? You think between just is it just the preparation in terms of the timing of like I need to prepare for this, like because this is live, like on television. What's the preparation versus doing a live show at a venue?
Well, a live show, well, you know, you have to be prepped for both, but a live show is a little more laid back, you know what I mean? Like, they're a little more, you can take maybe a little more liberties with the live show, versus television is just very, a lot of hurry up, and you're going to be waiting
right.
for a long time. It's a lot of hurry up and wait, but it's just very, there are just a lot of more moving parts because there's, you know, camera blocking and, you know, all of this and all of that and the sound and, you know, there's just a lot, you know, a lot different moving parts that go into television. So, yeah, it just makes your brain have to kind of think about, you know, more than just the song, how do you look, you know, are you, you know, standing at the right place and this, that. It's kind of, you know, it hones your multitasking skills. But it's a lot of fun. And with TV, you can do things over and over, and there's, you know, there's certain things that somebody doesn't get it. You know, live, you're kind of going with the flow. But on, you know, for TV, you know, if something happens, somebody needs to sneeze, somebody doesn't get it right, somebody in the background, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do that camera shot right, or, oh, you know, then it's, you know, doing it over again and, you know, having to do it with the same enthusiasm that you did it the first time and, you know, things of that nature. So just a different discipline. But I think doing TV is, all of it is a lot of fun, all of it. But it's, you know, whether it's a live show, you know, at a big venue versus an intimate venue, or, you know, TV, live TV or recorded TV. They're just different facets, and all of them are so much fun to me, and they all offer their own unique experience. There's something, you know, beautiful about each thing.
Oh, wow. And I think I only have one more question. Well, I think I got like two more, but I'll wait till my co-host Whitney asks hers. But the last one I have is, musically, what was it that that made you want to say, I want to do my own? Because you have a solo project, your first debut album coming out. I want to know, yeah, when was that time frame, or that, I guess, year or whatever age, whatever it was that said you wanted? Was it always a preparation doing background to do solo project, or was it just something that just naturally happened or progressed as you were in the music industry?
For me, as a little girl, I always knew I wanted to be a solo artist. I didn't know what my journey to that would be. Background singing was something that I decided that I definitely wanted to do, because I felt like I just remember waking up going, I have so much music inside of me and I have to get it out and I'm not doing anything with it. And, you know, I felt like I was in my 20s kind of having a midlife crisis. And, you know, I had some decisions to make, and I prayed, and, you know, thank God, you know, he just literally just started to bring gigs my way. And I started working as a background singer, but I always knew that I would be a solo artist, but I wanted that experience, you know, because it's one thing to say you want something, and then when you see it up close, you know, you don't know until you know for sure. You know, you may get into it and go, oh, this is way too much work, or this isn't what I thought, or, you know, so I really wanted to have the experience of knowing what it was, you know, what all it entailed and what went into it, so that I could say with an accurate, you know, desire, this is what I want to do. But it was probably around 2009, 2010, I did a project. It's an artist by the name of Bertina. She's a jazz artist, and I wrote a song on her album called Chai, like the tea, chai tea. And that experience working on that project, and an amazing producer by the name of Tracy Carter produced the album and had me in there. And and watching him work and watching the whole project be produced literally birthed a burning desire to do my own album like never before. Because for me, it was like I always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to do it, but I didn't know how it was going to come about. Did I want to be a major label artist? Was I going to pursue that? Did I want to be an independent artist? What, you know, I didn't know what my path was going to be. And it wasn't until that project that I saw so clearly. I remember him coming up to me and saying in the studio, you know, you can do this on your own, right? Like, you know, you can do this. You need to start thinking about your album. And different people would come into the studio, and because I would have to, like, you know, I wrote the song, and I would be, you know, just giving my opinion on vocal arrangements and things of that nature, and, you know, demoing things, and, you know, different people would come in the studio and hear me sing, and they'd said, well, when are you doing your album? And it's like, you know, God really had those people in line to kind of put that, you know, in my ear, to kind of move it to the forefront of my consciousness, to go, hello, maybe you want to start thinking about that now. And so that's really what kind of plunged me into it, to see that, you know, kind of behind the scenes, like, oh, I don't need to wait until I get a major label deal. I don't need to wait anymore. All I need to do is, you know, I've been writing songs since I was, you know, 15 years old. So since I was like, you know, a kid really, but not, you know, writing to the point where I'm thinking like, yeah, that's good, till I was about 15. So I'm like, I have all these songs accumulated. Like, there was just, it's like God moved all the excuses out of the way. Like, no, you can start now. And so a couple of years after that, I released a single called Sia. And it was number 26 on the UK Soul charts.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
And, I, you know, am just, I am a student, and I love to learn, and especially when it's something that I'm passionate about and just wanted to figure out, you know, well, what is this about, you know, as a solo artist? What do I have to do to release a single that, you know, what goes into it? And so I loved that experience. It was a beautiful experience, and just different things in life, you know, happened. I got divorced. Praise the Lord. And different things happen. And so,
the last of this, how you said it made me laugh.
Yes, it's okay, honey. Don't let nobody. I'm happy for everybody. I'm fast. I'm yet fasted and praying.
Hilarious.
The next one in a glorious, happy marriage. But, honey, okay, next to salvation, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. So, I am now divorced and, you know, been divorced for a few years and, you know, it just took, you know, life took different twists and turns and, through it all I've been writing and, you know, working on my project and, I pray that I have a single, we're working on the single now and hopefully it'll be out in February. We're getting it all together and so just working on the project and, pray that it will be out next year very soon. So yeah. So that's what I'm doing now. But yeah, it all started then looking at somebody else do their thing and going, oh my gosh. And she's an independent artist. And so just seeing that you could have such an amazing quality of music on your own. You know what I mean? I think especially growing up, watching everybody get a record deal, like that was my big dream. Like I, you know, Michael Jackson was on Sony and Mariah Carey was on Sony. So I want to be on Sony. I want a record deal. And it's like, you know, you have to be very open to letting God move in your life the way he desires to. And everybody has their own path and their own journey. And now in hindsight, I'm like, no, you know, I have my own record label and I want my own imprint and I want to do things my way because I feel like I've amassed enough knowledge about myself and the music industry that I can do this. I can do it. So, yeah, I'm glad I didn't pursue maybe the, you know, popular or normal means of doing things. That's all really dope. Like, I really like your story. A lot of the things that you've mentioned, like, it really sounds like you just kind of go with the flow, like you're a student of music and life and things like that, and you've had like some really big moments where you were like in the right place at the right time, and it sounds like you were always prepared. At any of these points, have you ever been like nervous? Because these are like some really big artists that you had the chance to work with early on and stuff, so I just wonder like what did that, how did you feel when those moments came about? Oh my Lord. I remember, well, let me see. When I was a kid and I did the Super Bowl, I wasn't nervous. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely mesmerized. I was mesmerized by like the crowd and just mesmerized by everything about it. And so that kind of planted the seed. But as I got older and got into doing it really for real professionally, mm-hmm. I'll just say, I remember I did the, now the year is slipping me, but one of my first, professional gigs was doing the BET Awards behind Kanye West and behind Smokey Norfolk. And the Kanye part wasn't nerve-wracking because I was with the choir and it was all good. I was singing background for Smokey Norfolk later on in the show. And I remember standing next to a friend who was also singing background. And I remember standing backstage, my knees were shaking together. She was like, what is wrong with you? I was freaking out. I was so nervous. Beyonce's on the first row and all these people
in the
audience. And I'm like, oh my God. That was that moment where this, like, the world came crashing down. I was like, what did I get myself into? Oh my God. And it didn't matter. We had rehearsed with Smokey. We rehearsed with the producers. We'd done all these things with the musical director. It did not matter. I thought I did not know what was going to happen. I was so nervous. I remember my hand shaking, you know, and that was freaking me out. Cause then, you know, we started the song and, you know, the curtain goes up and here we are. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to fake it till I make it, you know, until I look down
right.
at my hand and it's shaking. You know, my little hand holding the mic is just shaking and my brain is like, focus on the music. And then it's like, you know, that angel, you know, kind of like the angel on one shoulder, then the not angel on the other shoulder.
Right.
Like, focus, and the angel on the other shoulder is like, girl, your hand is shaking. look at you, girl. What did you do? Look at you, girl. So that's all I can tell. It was just, it was a moment. It was an experience. I got through it. Everything is fine. But yeah, it's been nerve wracking. It's a, you know, every, you know, even when I remember I was singing with Kayla Parker, we were doing a live show and we started one song and I remember I started the song like on the wrong note. Like it wasn't off key, but it just wasn't my note as
right.
As the soprano. It just was not the soprano note. And so I just remember her looking back at me like, girl, you better get together. She was giving me some Ike eyes. You better find yourself. So, you know, just moments like that, like you just kind of, you need them so that you won't be thrown. Because everything is not, as we all know in life and anything, in radio, and I'm sure you know, like so much can only be predicted. You know what I mean? Something inevitably is going to not be what you thought it was going to be at any given point. So, yes, I've been absolutely just sweating, nervous, shaking, teeth chattering, mic shaking, like, oh my God, I can't stop my hand from shaking. So, you know, and it's still something I'm just like, you know, I have my days, literally, where I need to go pray. I'm like, Lord, what did I get myself into?
Right.
And I do this, like, I want to do this. I know I can do this. Lord, what do I need to do? I don't drink, Jesus, so what do I do? Like, you know, so yeah, like when plans are being made, you know, of course, I'm human. Like, you know, I'll be in the middle of a meeting going, oh God, I have to, it's so easy to plan. Like, it's not you. And then, you know, you just have those moments like, oh my God, I actually have to execute. Oh, okay. Well, but this is where we walk by faith and not by sight. So, but yeah, I'm yet a work in progress. I'm still like, Lord, if you could just kill this stage fright spirit. So yeah, but yeah, they can be daunting. And sometimes, you know, I don't remember being nervous with Fantasia. I don't know why, but maybe it's her. She's so warm. And I think for that, like you said, I guess in my head, like God had just kind of been preparing me and, you know, it just depends. It depends on the situation and what's going on and maybe the day and how much coffee you've had. It just depends.
But, yeah. Right.
There are moments you can get thrown in something and it's all good. And there are moments you can get thrown in something and feel like you're about to drown, but you'll make it out anyway. And it, you know, it all ends up okay, which is the moral of the story.
Right. Well, I know, and that's good because I think a lot of people, like they really want something, like you can really, really, really want it, but then like there comes that moment where you realize how big certain moments are and it's like, oh my gosh, like this is my shot and I gotta really hit this.
Yep.
So no, that's great. Like thank you for sharing that. And you said you have, an upcoming project. Did you, is it all written by you or like do you have some other people, that wrote on it? Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it is a jazz soul project. I absolutely am in love with jazz and over the course of my musical journey figured out like, oh, I think I'm a jazz singer.
Oh, nice.
You know, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay. And my mom she would hear me sing jazz and she'd be like, you're a jazz singer, you're a jazz singer. But because my mama said it, you know, I'm like, oh,
right,
whatever. But, you know, through the course of things, I'm just like, oh, my goodness, that's what I really want to do. So it's a jazz soul project. It's we're going to have a couple of gospel songs on there as well. So some classic jazz stuff. And I've written a great majority of it, thank God. And because we got to use this life for something. As a songwriter,
right.
That's, you know, I pull, that's where my... that's where my outlet is, so I'm glad to be able to be writing a lot of songs on this album and doing a lot of covers as well. Going to do a tribute to Prince and
nice.
Just paying tribute to like the influences in my musical journey, Michael Jackson, and you know, just really kind of honing in on, you know, like they had that saying like, you know, what would Jesus do? Like I have to, you know, sometimes in the studio or in music, put myself in the like, what would Anita Baker do? What would Sade do? You know what I mean? So this is like my moment to kind of just express all of my musical instincts and all of that. So yeah, a lot of writing, working with the producer that I mentioned before, Tracy Carter. He's absolutely just, he's ridiculously brilliant. and I adore him. So I'm very blessed to be able to work with him. And I pray we can get the music out as soon as possible. So, yeah. Good. And one more specifically about writing. So whenever you are writing, is there, like, do you just kind of, you get an idea, you write it out, or do you, make time to sit down to try to create something? Like, what's your process, what's your routine look like when you're in your writing mode?
Honestly, I've been very blessed to have been very stretched, to have to do things, every which way. So,
okay.
I can be, like, cooking broccoli in the kitchen, and something, I'll hear a word or a phrase or something on TV, or a melody will come, or I'll be thinking something. Just like literally the other day, I was literally just in my prayer time, and I was praying something, and I was like, whoa, that sounds like a song, and I had to stop and write it down.
So nice.
It depends, whether inspiration comes from literally anything. Kayla Parker used to tell me music is everywhere, and she was right. I can also, like, sit down in a writing session. You know, when it's a writing session, you kind of got to sit down and make the mood happen for as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Me, thank God, I have, when it's just me, God will give me lyrics and melody at the same time. So that's just how I can kind of sit down with a recorder and just kind of sing it out. But people have sent me, songs and to write to. And I'm, thank God, I've had to do kind of each one, whether it's, something that came to me in the shower or something that made me cry and so I wrote a song about it, or literally I have written songs just watching General Hospital, like literally. Or I've had to sit, honest to God, really good songs. Grey's Anatomy and General Hospital, they'll give you some really good songs. But, or I've had to sit in a writing session and just have to sit and go, all right, okay, God, what's going to happen now, and try to figure it out.
Right.
So, yeah, so you got to kind of learn how to move. And everybody's different. But it's, I'm blessed that I know I can, if somebody forces me, I don't want to say forces me, but if somebody's like, sit down and write, I know mm-hmm. I can do that. And I know I can just, literally, like Sia literally came about from in my sleep. Like I can hear it playing in my head. And I literally was tossing and turning, like, because I love to sleep. And I was like, what is this interrupting me? And who is Sia? What is this song? I don't understand. I literally had to just say, all right, I'm ready. And woke up and went in the bathroom with my recorder and, like, hummed it out and was like, okay, I'll come back to it later. And honestly just said, okay, that was interesting, and just came back to it and said, okay, what is it in my gut, that I'm trying to say about this song? What is it? So it can come any which way.
Nice. Okay, so.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, go ahead, Whitney.
No, yeah, I lied. I have one other question.
You have kids.
And it's for, more so for, like, anybody who's listening. So I like to ask, so since you've had, like, you've done a lot of different things, and again, like, I'm just, like, mind kind of blown at how chill and everything you sound. Do you have any advice for people who are not quite where you are in their journey, like they're still trying to figure it out, like anything that you can impart on our listeners who are maybe into songwriting or playing a musical instrument, whatever it is, anything that you could tell them, any pieces of advice you can throw their way?
Oh, yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is pray. Pray. Because we are just vessels, and God's the gift giver, and, just seek direction and pray. Really get to figure out who you are, because we're individuals and we all have something different to bring to music, and you don't ever want to be a copy of someone else, because that's all that we could ever be if we're trying to be someone else, is a copy of someone else,
Right.
What I mean? And so really try to figure out who you are, because it's so easy to listen to someone, so, your favorite artist or, your favorite songwriter, and kind of want to sound like that person or you want to write like that person. It's really good to sit down within yourself and figure out, it's okay to have influences, of course, but figure out what is your sound? What is it that you specifically want to bring to the industry, whatever you're doing? What is the mark that you want to make? What is it that God gave you that only you can give to the world? And figure that out. Listen to a lot of stuff. Listen, specifically with music, listen to opera, listen to classical, listen to you know, Michael Jackson, listen to everything. Listen to everything, you know, things that may not be in your immediate wheelhouse, so to speak, you know. Don't just always listen to R&B. And you can want to be an R&B artist, and that's great, but you'll find that if you listen, there are probably classical elements that you can want to bring to your R&B, you know, music, or different elements here, there, gospel, or, you know, pop, or, you know, I love 80s pop and 80s stuff like that. I'm a huge, like, Kenny Loggins fan and pop stuff. Oh my goodness gracious people, okay?
I go all day on 80s pop. That is my
I'm still on 80s pop. I'm still on disco. I'm still right there with Donna Summers. I'm really, come on.
Right,
disco.
Exactly.
No? So just
you hear that, Will? She said Donna Summer. I'm just saying. I'm Donna? Sorry about that. I heard it. She said Donna Summer. He doesn't respect greatness. That's why I'm throwing it out there, Ava. But go ahead with what you were saying.
Okay, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to, you know, stretch out our hands and say a prayer for him. It's all right, Donna.
I'm going to spit my drink out. You're crazy.
Okay?
I'm going to spit my drink out.
Thanks, Q-Lan.
All right. Don't hate on Donna. Great.
Hilarious.
You got to get, listen to stuff in the 40s, in the 50s, you know, get out of your immediate genre, get out of your decade, just listen to everything, because that to me makes the most well-rounded artist. And don't give up, and don't believe people if they tell you that you can't, it's because they can't. Don't believe people if they tell you that you can't do it, and don't let people put you in a box. Everybody's journey is different. Everybody has an individual journey, and it may happen. I think Toni Braxton was discovered at, like, a gas station. You know what I mean? Like, anything can happen. You know what I mean? So it doesn't have to look like, oh, I took my, you know, mixtape to a record label. It could be anything. It could just stay open and have faith that, you know, when you trust God, He'll make the way. He will make the way, because there's no way that He's gonna let you miss what's for you. So just have faith and you know, don't let people put you in a box. It could be when you least expect it. Like, literally, you know, for me, I was sitting in a green room. My first, even with Kayla Parker, I was sitting at home, and she was, you know, I got a phone call, and she was just like, "Hey, I just want you to be my backup singer." So, these things have never, ever happened conventionally, ever. And I'm still getting used to that part of my life, because I would like a little more predictability, a little more, you know, I say that, and I don't want to insult God at all. But I'm, you know, there's certain times in life, it's like, it would be nice if this was, like, normal. But, you know, things don't happen for me in that way. That's just not my pattern of life. So you just have to stay open. You know, stay open. Like, is it going to be, you know, when I go to Trader Joe's, Lord? You know, you don't know. You don't know. But keep the faith. Study. Study your craft. Study. Sing every day. Try to discipline yourself. Write. Practice. Study. Just stay prepared and have faith. Yeah.
Say it again, Ava, because they hard-headed. You know,
especially
musicians, they don't like practicing. So you got to say it one more time so they can hear that part. They go ignore everything. They go live on the hope, but they ain't going to get to the realest. Yes,
you gotta, don't snort up all the hope and don't do nothing. Like, you gotta practice. You gotta practice, and you gotta push yourself. You gotta, you know, it's easy to sing in the shower, but, you know, make some calls. Go to some open mic nights. Go, you know, feel your way out. You know what I mean? So, like, I guess that's what it is too. You know, faith without works is dead. If you believe it, then start acting out on it. Go get on Craigslist. Do something. Figure out. I remember one of my, I was like, I think I can do this, like, as a solo artist. Literally, I think I went on Craigslist and was, like, looking up just, like, open mics and this, that, and the other. And I entered myself, this is, like, almost a decade ago, I entered myself into, like, a singing contest at what I did not know at the time, which was, you know, very interesting and quite hilarious, was a gay bar. And, yeah. And I was so happy because I was like, I'm going in there. And I had this idea to do Michael Jackson's Can't Help It with just me and the bass. And so I was being real artistic and stretching out. And see, also what you do is when you're going to go left a little bit, like, you just want to do you and the bass. You don't want to know what the instruments. You want to find, like, a small venue to test them things out on.
Right, right. Yo, they have... people, you said that community, they have like the greatest ear for music. They really turned me on to house music like a decade ago. Like they have really great taste in music at those gay bars.
Yeah. So I was like, I didn't know it was a gay bar. I walked in and was just like, I see no women but me. And like, what's going on? And it was hilarious because it was a surprise. But they are the most supportive, like one of the most supportive communities ever.
Yeah, they go hard for you. If they pay you, they'll buy everything that you got.
And so it was a great experience because it was nothing but love. I had a great time. And I won some money, okay?
Okay. That's the fun part as well.
You got to make your own opportunities sometimes. You got to do it.
Right.
That's all out there.
Yeah. Man, you dropping a lot of gems right now that a lot of people could use. I only got three more questions, and then we're going to play this game called What's Wrong With You Game. Yes. And the last of my three questions, first one is, since you have a history of background, being a background vocalist, I wanted to know, because I love background singers. Like I mentioned, Lisa Fisher is like one of my favorites. And then we go back to Darlene. I love that documentary that they did to highlight all the legendary singers, like the Perry sisters and stuff like that. I love singers like that. And so I wanted to know, either if it was a live performance or wherever, if it was in the studio, I don't know, however it came about, but what artist or singer that you've done backgrounds for to where everything was right and that their ear, that you could tell that their ear, they could like you were mentioning Caleb Park. Oh yeah, I'm getting ADD, but Caleb Park, for people that don't know who that is, she's like pretty like, she's so popular in the Detroit area. She's like great, great singing and all that. But yeah, just like how they mentioned the Clark sisters and the Winans brothers and sisters and all that. Like she's part of that legacy of great Detroit singers. So yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But yeah, Caleb Parker is a cold beast. She was a cold beast on that mic. I'm getting chill bumps thinking about it.
An amazing singer, arranger, songwriter, everything. She just wore a cape, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, but which singer that you performed behind that was like, you like, man, they got a great ear.
And a great ear specifically just in general or for?
Just in general, like they're like in tune with everything what the band is doing. If they needed to call you out, like, hey, you are on your note, or if they just was enamored with what the backgrounds was doing, who is it that's, like, so in tune with the band and that,
I would have to say definitely Kayla, because we spent, and she spoiled me, because we would rehearse, and I love, like, Lois, people, Jesus, and it doesn't always happen like this in this life, it's all right. She spoiled me because she would take the time to rehearse her singers separately. And everybody doesn't do this. I think they should, but okay. She would rehearse us singers separately from the band. So she would invite us to her home. She would cook us spaghetti. And she would rehearse us alone, just with her, on the piano. So she wanted to make sure every detail of the background, because she was a master arranger. So every detail had to be right. Like, you weren't going to play around with Kayla. Like, you ain't going to improvise. You're going to come in when you're supposed to come in. You're going to be on your right note. Like, come on. So that I love. She knew everything. She could, you know, hear what the band was doing, what we were doing. Oh, that alto note needs to do this. Oh, that band needs to do that. Like, she's the one that taught me just how to be absolutely meticulous about every single part. Her singing, the song, her songwriting, what the band is doing, what they're playing. What all the instruments are doing, what the background singers are doing, how are y'all swaying, what is this, she's taught me that meticulous, just, you know, she had that, you know, like she could see it all and hear it all. Let me think, somebody else that was like really, really meticulous. I know Mariah is very meticulous. She's very, very meticulous with her band and singers. Mm-hmm. She wants it a certain way. I think like who else? Dennis Edwards, rest his soul, a beautiful man, lead singer of the Temptations. Another one just very meticulous about the background vocals and very, you know. But I think a lot of artists, when you're especially if you wrote it, you know, if you're an artist that you wrote it and, you know, it has to be right because it's coming from your, literally, it's coming from your soul. Like, you've heard it before anyone else ever heard it. And so you want it to be right. So anybody that's like that, especially old school artists, they're going to want it right.
And right,
I love
right.
that old school ethic of, you know, every single thing has to be right. So I would say probably most everybody. I don't think I've been, and of course there are artists, you know, depending on who they are and what's going on, depending on what the gig is and everything. I remember, we were doing something with Christina Aguilera. Different things, they know how to delegate. You know, some artists will take the time to really be with you and, you know, the singers, the band, and really have that intimate focus. And some other artists will leave it to the musical director to, you know, to figure everything out. So it just depends on the artist. But, yeah, a lot of the artists I can think of, and I think that kind of is maybe an innate thing with an artist. You know, we kind of have that multitasker kind of mind, and we can hear and see what's going on. And if some may write, you know, somebody's notes off, that guitar needs to be tuned, like, you can kind of just kind of hear it and see it. I hope that answered your question. I hope it did.
It did, actually. I was just wanting to know if it was, like, any of them that was in particular. But you said it was all of them, so that's great to know. And you worked with a lot of great singers, so I'm like, I'm glad that they on it. Because sometimes they don't be on it like that. It's like some of them could, oh, man, I almost said who it was. I'm not going to put it on anyway.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm an R&B singer. But they were, like, not, like, it's just a few experiences I had. It was, like, it went great, the rehearsal, but it was, like, oh, you don't care that much about this. It was just, I ain't going to say who, I almost flipped it out, Ava, and told all of Studio Buzz was going on. But my second, you caught me off guard. I'm going down memory lane in my head, just thinking about it, making me laugh, so.
But you know what? The funny thing is, that brings back, when, like I said, when one of my first things was the BET Awards, I remember Patrice Rushen was the musical director. This is hilarious. Patrice Rushen was the musical director for the BET Awards. And you know, she's a beast in her own right. And
oh, man, she was. I remember that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Taking me back.
Yes. So she was a musical director. She was doing that for the BET Awards. This is the time Kanye did Jesus Walk.
Oh, yeah, it sure was.
So
yep.
Everybody didn't know John Legend. John Legend wasn't John Legend back then. He was the dude on piano for Kanye back then, right?
Yep.
So I
just remember, for Plum Village.
Yeah, so I just remember, it's so funny. I just remember standing in the lobby and, like, John Legend and Patrice Rushen are going at it, okay? They're in this debate because Patrice had rehearsed us one way and John came in and wanted to change it and do another whole thing. And to this day, it's like one of those moments I'm just the background singer, okay? But I really
right.
watching them. I'm standing next to Yolanda Adams, who looks like she ain't like, I ain't getting in this. And so, with Kanye. And so I'm standing there, I'm watching, I'm like, man, I really have a solution, but I ain't going to say nothing because I'm just back on saying I'm going to stay in my lane. But to this day, I'm just like, man, I wish I had just said, how about we do both ways? Like, how about we do this for the intro and this, and your idea, John's idea for the bridge, or, you know, vice versa. But I just remember, right. So when you were, that just brought that story back to me because I'm like, there are artists like John Legend and like Patrice Rushen who they want it a certain way. They want it right, and they're...
So whose idea did they go? They go with Patrice's because she was the music director?
Hell no. If my memory serves me correctly, we then went with that doggone John Legend's idea, and it was new.
Oh, wow.
Well, I had a vested interest because I really liked Patrice's idea. I liked them both. They were both very good ideas. It's just who was going to do which idea for the intro of Kanye's song, I believe that's what it was. And I
right.
felt like we should do them both. You know, I think we should them maybe like John's for the intro and Patrice's for the bridge or vice versa. But we ended up, I think they ended up going with John Legend's idea. And his idea was just a little less appealing only because it was new, because we'd already learned Patrice's idea. So now it's like, we gotta learn what? So that's what it was. But that brings back that story, because I just remember looking like a deer in headlights, like, I think I have a solution, but I ain't going to say nothing.
That's hilarious. Kanye was a different Kanye then, so he didn't jump in, but I'm sure he was different then.
Kanye wasn't standing there. By the time Kanye came, I think the whole thing had been, you know.
Already squashed. They already worked it out.
But he was still Kanye in terms of, you know.
The ego and all that. Right.
He was actually so humble and so sweet. And so almost shy and quiet and
that's what I was telling them. I was like, he's so nice. Like, he didn't seem like, and this is like when he's at his height of his height. I think this is after like Flash of Lights or something like that when I met him. And I was like, he was real nice. Like, you could tell he's so passionate, cool, but I was like,
some people are passionate and some people are just plain doggone arrogant, and he's not that guy. He says a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff, like, when it comes down to his artistry, like, I'm the most brilliant artist. Like, he is probably the most brilliant artist right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't say ever, because, you know, Michael Jackson is my honorary baby daddy.
I know, Quincy Jones is still, you know, kicking and, you know, doing his thing.
You know, like, we all have our favorites. We all have our, you know, our list of brilliant artists. So, you know, we can't just say one, you know. But, you know what I mean. But he's...
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. He's just, you know, obviously very confident, but he's the sweetest, like, the sweetest guy.
Yes, and like I said, I got two more. I'm gonna stick on the script, and I got two more. My second one is, you know, we lost Big Jim White not too long ago, and oh my God, I met him so many times. It's just he had a fountain of gems, but he was hilarious. Like, all my encounters with him is funny. And then I wanted him on the show because he had so much musical knowledge. Like, he was, like, bringing up stuff from, like, 60s.
Yeah.
From, like, you know, he was bringing, like, all kind of music up. He had, like, all kind of history knowledge, music history knowledge.
Yeah.
I was, like, picking his brain about. But I just wanted to know, since he was your friend, if you could tell the listeners your experience of him and what lasting memories do you have of Big Jim?
Oh, goodness. I met Big Jim, honestly, when he was rehearsing for the Grammys, what year is this? Maybe 2004, 2005. I think 2005 I met him. He was rehearsing with Mariah for the Grammys. And Steph, literally, up on Hello, I just was cracking up, and he just was so outgoing and like, there is no one funnier, honest to God, on this earth.
He's hilarious. He's funny. Especially, he went on a rant about these new R&B singers. I ain't gonna tell you what it was, but I was crying. It was hilarious. I was dying laughing.
He had major key and major opinions about everything.
Yes.
He would tell you like it is. And just his rant's classic. Classic. So, my memories, I remember we would sit on the phone for hours, and he would sit at the keyboard and play and sing and, you know, go over, like, his catalog and, you know, remember this song? You know, remember that song? And, you know, tell me stories behind, you know, specifically, I remember he was playing and singing and telling me about working with Yolanda Adams for Open My Heart. And I think that's the name of the song.
Yes.
And just countless times. We loved to eat. That was like how we bond. Like, we just food and music. That was our bond. So, like, if it wasn't pork chops and it wasn't, you know, lamb shank, it was, you know, music.
Hey, so, there we go.
Yeah,
good.
Just tell me so many stories. I remember I loved a song called Little Red Boat. And I had no idea that he had produced that song. And I remember him texting me one day, and he was like, I'm going to send you something. I'm like, all right. And he sent me this, like, YouTube link, and I'm like, shut up, you did that song. Like, he just always knew how to blow my mind with stuff like that. And he just was, just like I said, the by far, the funniest person. And so let's kind of, like, we're going to go full circle. This is why, and I'm so glad that I got an awesome chance to meet you. This is why, because some years ago, Jim was playing with the Isley Brothers, and he took me to the show, and it was a great show, of course. Afterwards, we went out to dinner, and, you know, we were sitting in the car after dinner, and we were listening to the radio, and I don't even know if it even came on the radio. I don't know what happened. I don't know how we started talking about it, but he started singing Don't Look Any Further, and he started impersonating Dennis Edwards. So, and it was so funny because no matter where we were in the conversation, he would always retch on right back to this one song and this, you know, this one part of the song he kept singing. I guess it's a bridge or it's like one of Dennis's parts, and he kept singing it. And I was in tears laughing. So when he passed away and I was on Twitter and I saw, I think you posted a video of him with Dennis, and Dennis was singing Don't Look Any Further, I like freaked out. Like, oh my God. Because I had just been talking to my mom about that. I was like, remember, like, I was laughing. And then, so, you know, that was just, like, so super special for me. But, yeah, Jim was absolutely one of the most brilliant people I've ever met in my life. Like, he just breathed music. Like, it was easy for him. Like, you know what I mean? And right. Just, like, the most awesome, like, lyrics and chords and melodies. Like, he just, it was as easy as breathing for him. And he just was an amazing, amazing person. You know, it took a toll on me. I was thinking about that today. I'm like, Lord, you know, threw me through a loop. But it also brought up so many different memories and so many things I hadn't thought of in years, and you know, different conversations and things of that nature. And just, I mean, he was just hilarious. Like literally. And I love to laugh, but the hardest times I've ever laughed in my whole life have been with Jim, just hands down. And so, you know, I'm so glad that we still and will always have the music, and, you know, everybody's life that he's touched in one way or another will always have a song or a story that they have that that they can say, yeah, I met Jim and he said, or, you know, I love this song that he produced. So he definitely made his mark, and I know he's in heaven, just, you know, having those angels in tears laughing. This I know.
Right. And it's so, yeah, you said that because that's where I connected with him, was at an Isley Brothers show. That's so, like, when you said I was like, that's so eerie, like, thinking about that. And it was just, I remember when he posted it, because I got it from his Instagram, and I was like, yo, this is dope, how that was a moment for him, and that, like, I could tell that, like, this was, like, a moment, like, he really, because he looked so excited, out. That's why I posted like, he was, like a kid in the candy store, like, that's how he was acting, I was like, this is hilarious, I'm like, he's really having a moment.
Right. He was, like, a little kid, and so I had just, because, you know, we didn't know each other, me and you, and so I literally had just posted this, like, long, like, you know, kind of tribute to him on my, Instagram, and I was, one of the stories that I shared was, you know, him singing Don't Look Any Further. So when I get on Twitter and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding, like, Lord. So yeah, but I was just like, what a blessing to see that. Cause I was just like, I never knew that they had met, and you know, that he actually, cause he's been, you know, the video is just, it's priceless, period. But to know the backstory, like, he was, like, obsessed with that song, and like, it was like a running joke for us. And I'm just like, Lord, cause he would stop. It wouldn't matter what we were talking about, just playing on the phone, in the car, just in a mid-conversation and start singing Don't Look Any Further.
I can just imagine it, like, it sounds like him. And he had such a big personality. It was definitely a blow up into the musical community, because it's like, it's so weird not, like, picturing, not to, like, immortalize him, but it's, I was telling him, I was like, it's just so weird somebody with that much energy great energy and light about them that I'm like, that it just seems odd. But yeah, he's like, I just wanted him on the show, and I was just thankful that he wanted to come on the show, and I wanted to just publicly tell him how much I appreciated his impact on the music industry and everything he's done, and I just wanted him to publicly know, like, how much he was appreciated. I told him in person so many times, but it was just something I just wanted to tell him on this platform, like, how much he was amazing. But, yeah, rest on the big gem. And then my last question is, in terms of your music, I always find it interesting with singers, because I feel like the industry, it changes every 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And so what I see is always consistent, and what statistics have shown is that touring is and merchandising is like the biggest thing, even in independent sales, like in that realm, it's still right. the same in terms of touring. And so I always wanted to know, like, singers that are putting out independent albums, how much emphasis is on touring or just doing any live shows, because that's, I feel like that's an experience as just as much as the album. So I wanted to know, if are you putting emphasis on the live shows as well going along with your debut album?
Yeah, I definitely am. And that kind of ties into, even as a songwriter, when I write a song, one of the parts that makes me so excited when it's just in my head is that I can hear, I can imagine, like, what it's going to sound like live. And if I can, like, feel like I got a banger live in my head, that just makes me, like, super happy about the song. And for me, it's twofold. I love live shows and live interpretations of music. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not... Like, it's a beautiful thing to be able to, like, put something, you know, on record, but to be able to interpret it live and take it even further and, you know, right. That's what I love. So, yeah, there's definitely a big emphasis that we're placing on live shows and all of that. That's why I told y'all, stretch your hands out and pray about it without half day. Right, okay? Because I got some good stuff planned. I got some
really
good
I'm looking forward to it. Your Thank debut you. Album, because when you said jazz soul, I'm like, yo, there's so much, like, creativeness in performing jazz live. And I was like, man,
I'm like super excited. Like, you just, you know, that's one of the things I love most about jazz is that it's kind of like the freest genre to me. Like, you know, mm-hmm. There's so much freedom. You get to do anything. So yeah, I'm looking so forward to, I've been putting this live show together for a long time. So,
that's amazing.
Really good. I promise it's going to be really, really good and lots of nostalgic moments because I really want to kind of make it, almost like a musical bio almost in terms of just what my influences are, you know, and how I grew up and the things I grew up listening to. Because I think it's so important to know not just the artist, but how they got there. Like, how did you start singing this music or writing this music, you know? And so for me, the live show will definitely kind of tell the story of, like, you know, I grew up on Stevie Wonder, you know, and I grew up on this and that. And uh-huh. So it'll definitely have those songs and those influences in there.
You know, you sound just like our guest musician we had on last week, Sure Will. You know, he's a jazz musician as well. Have you heard him? Smooth Jazz? He does, I think he's, he used to be,
His name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's worked with a lot of people, but yeah, he said the same thing about, live music as well in terms mm-hmm. of that, in terms of, cause he realized that's what he wanted to do, doing jazz as well. So
uh-huh.
That's pretty cool. And so yeah. We're going to get to this What's Wrong With You game real quick. It's
okay.
A little bit, you're going to hear the producer / engineer of the show chiming in everything with falsehoods and just random babble that's not true.
Okay.
So, and ignore him. And so.
The game is rigged. The game is rigged.
Like I said, he's going to jump in with falsehoods that are just completely just fake news all the way through. It's just fake news.
Okay.
And so I'm going to give you a premise of the game. It's basically you're picking, it's not a artist comparison. It's an either-or game, and you're not picking the artist based on vocal comparison. You're right. Picking them on their, like, how many, like, songs do you listen to? Whose catalog do you like more?
Okay.
Is basically
okay.
It. And so the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye.
There you go. You're talking right. The second one, say it again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was
going to say Marvin because I'm kind of like a smoother, you know, chick, like, vibe, like Teddy Pendergrass. Like, I do love his music, but he's
right.
His aggression sometimes, it just catches me off guard. Go
ahead. Not at all. Like, sir, calm down, okay?
Fine.
You look too aggressive. Right. Or you can go turn it off yourself, actually, but that's just...
Right.
Okay, the next one is The Whispers or The OJ?
Oh, my gosh, how dare you.
I got to do it.
Don't do it to me.
And this is the second one. I don't know how you're going to react to the next one.
Are you kidding? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Whispers are the OJ. Gosh darn it, you. Okay, I'm going to... Okay, goodness gracious, what do you want from me? I'm going to just say the OJ.
Just hear you listen to more of. You can just look in your on your playlist shuffle and say, who do I listen to more? OJ's or... Who'd you say?
Okay, you know what? Recently, I will say in my life in general, if I can have two answers, in my general life, I'm going to say the OJs. But who do I listen more on my playlist? The Whispers.
Okay. Yeah, either way, again, it's a little tricks and change through here because I make up the rules as I go.
See, I told you it was rigged. I told you.
No, it's not rigged. That's actually a bonus one. So either way, you would have got it right. I was going to mess with you on that one. Okay, the next one. You're making me lose my train of thought. Okay, the next one is Prince or Rick James?
Oh, Prince. That was
there you go, you talked it right. That's another bonus as well. Either one you could have picked, it would have been right.
Yeah, that was easy.
Because they were both musically on the same level with the catalog, so.
He's like Prince is like maybe my happiest musical place. Honest to God, music makes me happier than Prince. Like last night, I was listening to Erotic City. That gets the party started every freaking time. Like that was my alarm, actually, to let me know. Like Prince is using an alarm, like to wake up, to like let me know what's going on. When I was like, oh, let me not, because just the way that my life has been set up right now, it, you know, I was like, Lord, let me not forget what I'm supposed to do today. So I set an alarm. I said, let me call in. I don't want to forget anything. Like, let me put my peanut butter and jelly sandwich down. So Erotic City was my alarm. Oh,
see,
yeah.
You are talking right because Erotic City holds a special place to me. Those chords as well are just that whole song is just remember. It's just taking back to memory lane when I used to play it in church. I used to play it on the organ.
Oh my God!
Right, but yeah. Like I said, I told you I'm a heathen, so I go. I was playing Prince. I was playing Too Short and UGK. I was skizing the chords in the music, so nobody could tell. I think I only got in trouble by one pastor, but that wasn't no big deal. That's because he knew something.
I'm not going to call out what church. I'm not going to call out the church. They want to call it, but I ain't going to call it. Everybody going to know. But and it happens a lot in church. It does. I remember going to this one church I was going to for a while. And I'm telling you, I'm like, if y'all play Janet Jackson, What Have You Done For Me Lately in the middle of this praise song one more time. Like, come on. So, it's okay.
They probably know they're offering.
You know, I'm like, Lord, a lot, Lord, for me lately, Lord, a lot.
That's hilarious. I need to add that to the next time I go to church. I need to buy it.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Just figure it out. Okay, the next one. Okay, this is the shift in the game. This is why he called it rigged, because I changed up the rules, because I make you feel relaxed. For a few questions,
oh,
the first
Lord.
Few of them, and then the next one is very intense, and there is a wrong answer to it. So basically, I'm judging. It's a judgmental game, and so you basically got to pick what I pick. And so if you don't pick what I pick on these, then you get what's wrong with you. And so,
I told you. I told you it was real.
You can go find your Pinot Grigio, Will. Let's continue on to this game. It's not that hard. It's not that hard, okay? You got to pick what I pick, okay?
See, okay. I told you, Ava, I told you.
It's not rigged. No, don't listen to me. It's not rigged at all. It's not rigged at all. Okay, this is specific with Michael Jackson, Off the Wall or Thriller?
Ooh, I am going to say Thriller.
Now.
Say it again.
You heard it the first time.
What songs you got? Name me three of your favorite songs off that album.
See, that's called voter suppression. Yeah. That's voter suppression.
Listen, where's the mute button at? Where's the mute button? Name me three songs from there that you like.
Okay, now I'm starting to sense some of your tone right now. Not liking your tone right now.
I just asked a question. I just
want to
know.
Hold on. That is my honorary baby daddy, okay? So just hold on.
I just need to know the three songs. I just want to know. I'm curious to know the three songs.
Tell you. One,
human nature, okay? Whatever track you is, baby, be no. mine. Come on. The whole Go-Go album, Beat It, Frillet, the whole 8 tracks. How about that? The whole 8 of them.
Listen, you being all hype. I just wanted to know, but your tone is gonna make me turn into what's wrong with you. I was just want to ask a question. Okay, you're gonna make me turn into what's wrong with you. Okay, you're gonna get a negative 27 points deducted.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying it ain't gonna happen. Okay, so you're saying you like Thriller more than Off the Wall.
Listen.
That's what she
listen,
said.
Listen.
What's the vibe? I just want to ask this one question. What's the vibe of that album that makes you like that album more than Off the Wall?
You know what? This is why we're friends. Because I was going to tell you it's all about the vibe. You took it out of my mouth. Listen.
Okay. It's the vibe. Okay.
I'm not saying I don't love Off the Wall. I do. Trust me. Burn This Disco out and Get on the Floor and all that. I can't.
Okay. So you're talking right. Okay.
I love Off the Wall. But specific vibe that Off the Wall has.
Oh, gotcha.
I have to be kind of in a kind of like a specific mood. Thriller is like for every moment. That's this general in life. Like Thriller will work if you up, if you down, if you in traffic, if you at the beach, if you like. I have to really be like in a certain specific moment to like want to hear Off the Wall. If a vibe is great, I love it. But it's to me, I think Thriller is a happier type of. It's a lighter type of. That's that, I mean, man, that's like a musical orgasm. That's that, the best of Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones right there. Like, you can't go wrong with that. You can't.
Okay, your explanation. Listen, I just need to know the real deal of y'all picks. That's the judgment.
Oh,
I just need to know if y'all really listen to the albums that y'all say, or just the artists that y'all picking. So you're not going to get a what's wrong.
Just because. I'm going to have a reason behind it.
Okay, so you're not getting what's wrong with you on that, but just for game purpose sake, you're going to get a negative 2. So you don't get what's wrong with you, but you get a negative 2 points. That's just the rules of the game, okay?
That's badgering. That's badgering the guests. You're badgering the guests.
No, stop. Listen, I need to go get you a unlimited supply of Pinot Grigio so we can get you off the microphone. Okay, the next one is, this one might be another uproar. I don't know how. This is the one that's the firecracker of the bunch. Okay, Miss Patty or Miss Aretha?
Aretha, stop playing games. What's wrong with you?
Aretha. Oh, my God. See, that's what happens when I feel like when y'all answer the first two right is always a trick for me. Because anytime y'all answer the first two, y'all talking right.
You know what?
It's always this one. Where I have to question everything about why. Okay, so name me 3 songs from, you gotta name me 5 songs of hers that's in your playlist right now.
I told you it was rigged. Game is rigged.
That's not rigged. I just want to know. I'm just interested in how many songs that you listen to.
The game is rigged.
Name me 5 songs.
Are you kidding me?
I just need to know. I just need to know how many songs you have on your playlist of Aretha. Name me 5.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Sparkle. Hooked on Your Love. Goodness. What is that? Who's Zooming Who?
Oh, she picked all the good ones.
Gosh. Like, what is that? What is that song? She did it with, Michael McDonald. Never Changing Time. Ever Changing Times.
With a Fool Please?
No, that's Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald.
Well, no, I thought she did cover that song.
Never heard it. She did. I'm thinking ever. I think it's Ever Changing Time.
I think that's it. Okay, you good enough. Okay, all right. I believe you.
Come on.
Okay, you don't get a. What's wrong with you? You get a negative 2 again. So
I am trying to figure out why
you're still in the A+ zone. So you're not thrown.
Like guest, because you ask me questions that make.
Listen, the game is you have to pick what I pick, and you didn't pick what I picked, but you gave amazing explanations, and you knew the song, and so you don't get a what's wrong with you. Listen, the last guest got too hyped with me. He was debating with me, and he almost lost the game, but I was scared he was gonna do something to me, so I made him win.
No,
But you talking right on this. You get a negative two, you don't get a response.
I just want an explanation from you, love. I need one. I need one, sweetheart. I need an explanation for why you would choose Miss Patty. We love Miss Patty. That was my jam that you just played. I get it. I listen to it on my own, like, all the time and sit and cry and be like, oh, Jesus. I get it. I love, you know, she has some songs for me there. Somebody Loves You and all that other stuff. Okay, listen now. But tell me why. Tell me why you say Patty over Aretha.
Listen.
Tell me why.
The whole purpose of the game is songs that you replay. I don't hear people, like, if you listen to, it feels like Patty's singles, like, I hear more people listen to her song singles, and people make the argument that Aretha has more. But I listen to the albums of Aretha's more than Patty. But I don't hear people play her singles like that, unless it's like drunk Caucasian people at corporate events.
You're funny.
Like, they're playing respect.
Right.
But that's just my thing. Like, I don't hear people, unless you're like 89 years old playing, like, you know, every day. Like my co-host EB that's not here. But.
She's like totally telling me that Aretha Franklin's for the elderly. That's what she's saying, people. That's what she's
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying if you listen to it on the regular.
Yep. That's what she said.
Okay, she got some hip records.
That's what she said.
Listen, I'm calling myself old because I listen to all her albums. I have her Donna Washington tribute album on repeat all the time. So I'm 89 as well.
Okay.
I listen to that.
Okay.
She has got a lot of great songs. Okay, was my explanation good enough?
It was. I think I see where you're coming from. All right.
I'm glad you can.
You are hilarious. This is the last one, and we're going to end the game. This is the last one. Okay, Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Babyface, are you crazy?
You talking right. Listen, you don't know how many times that's been a juggle. That one's been up in the air because some people haven't talking right when they come on the show. And I'm like, what? Really? You got to think about it. But you're talking right. Okay. I've concluded on this What's Wrong With You game. There's nothing wrong with Miss Ava Monroe. There's nothing wrong with her. She won the game. Amazing.
Thank you.
You made an A. You didn't ace it, but you made a 96. That's good.
It's okay.
That's a 96 A plus. Okay?
Okay.
I just deducted 4 points. And so you still got a 96. That's passing. And that's actually excellent, actually.
I was going to take the A. You remember, like in school, you get the A that doesn't have nothing by it. It's not a minus. It's not a plus. It's just a plain A.
Yeah.
I'll take the plain A.
It's an A plus because it's a 96. I didn't give you a 91 or a 92. You know, that's an A minus or whatever when it's in the early 90s.
Well,
but
I feel very
confident
that I have an A plus. I do.
I got an extra one. I said that was my last one. Okay, this is bonus. Okay.
Okay.
Ace Evans or Mary J. Blige?
Oh, Lord. What? Who are you, lady? okay, look.
I'm just curious.
Man, you're making my leg twitch. Okay, look.
Where's her leg twitch?
Stuck in traffic. The next time I'm stuck in traffic, I'm going to think of this game and start counting my blessings. Okay.
I'm going to give you...
Very, very much like Off the Wall versus Thriller, okay? Now, dang it, lady, I don't know. It depends on the...
Say the woman that made You Used to Love Me is the one that's the Thriller that you pick, because hopefully you say that. The
you
one
are
that
so funny.
Hopefully you say the one that made Caramel Kisses and Reasons, you know. Wrote her own music, you know. Did her own background vocals without coaching. Produced her own vocals. I hope you say that person.
I'm just saying, for me, I'm going to have to choose Faith.
You said Faith?
I said
Faith. You talking right. You talking. Listen, she won the game again. Listen, you got bonus points, so we added an extra 10 points. So you got an 8, you got 100. 15. You know how they added in school the 10 plus points and 15? You got extra credit and you aced it all the way. Thank you so much for coming on this show. Thank you for winning the What's Wrong With You game.
Well, I can't wait to look forward to listening to your debut album. Can you give us a little hint of what the name, the title of the album's going to be, or is it, like, wrapped up as a secret?
It's kind of wrapped up as a secret right now.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to get the exclusive.
I can
That's all right.
I can only feel this tea, is that the name of the album is going to be the same name as the first single. So I will let you know when the first single comes out, and then you will have your question answered.
Oh, see, I love when I like, listen, I'm good at riddles, so I can put two and two together, because I got common sense. Not like two supporters that don't have common sense, but, you know, I got good, God-given right. common sense, so I'll be looking forward to figuring that out. But thank you so much for coming on. Where can they find you on social
thank
media?
Thank you. I have had a ball, so thank you so much. I'm honored. On Instagram, I am at Ava, A-V-A, dot Monroe, M-O-N-R-O-E. Twitter, I believe I am the Miss Ava, or, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I am. I think I am. Let me look. But, yeah, I think that's it, the Miss
Ava. I have it for them on the website when they listen in the reporter show. I have it posted for them so they can look at it.
Okay, but, awesome. But I'm always on Instagram. I love Instagram, so...
Thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to listen to your debut album. Hopefully you perform somewhere. Like, if I got to go to L.A., if I got to go there to catch a live performance, I'll go there. If I'm around that way, if you're performing during that time period, I'm definitely looking forward to watching it. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
We had a blast.
I'm so eager to get the new music to you.
Oh, man, I love it. Thank you so much. Willow, if you're ready, we're getting ready to go to break. And we're going to do a little Savvy update. And when we come back, I guess after the Savvy update, we do 6 minutes of rage, because there's a lot to talk about with this past election that happened on Tuesday. So we'll be back. We're playing Big Jim Wright's music all show. And so, Willow, if you're ready to go to break, and when we're back, we do Savvy update and 6 minutes of rage. We'll be back, y'all.
Conversations we had every single night, lying in bed together. So why would there be a breakdown in communication? And I'm just wondering, was that the warm and fuzzy feeling? Those good old days seem like so long.
are back. This is the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W. Q Lynn and Whitney, back to you.
Hey, it's the jam right there. He said, I remember he had posted that he was doing this song in like a creepy studio in Hawaii. It was like how you said it was funny. But yeah, rest on the Big Jim. We playing Big Jim, Grammy Award winning producer, songwriter, musician, arranger, playing his music all night, giving appreciation to him. He was supposed to be, like, I scheduled him on to be on. It just was significant to like, do it. It wouldn't have felt right not to do the show and not, you know, pay homage to him. Like I said, that was if you just not listening, we had, Miss Ava Monroe, singer-songwriter, on at the top of the show. It was amazing. She had me falling over laughing. That was hilarious. That was one of the best ones we had. We get into the savvy updates right now, but that interview was amazing, and last week's interview was amazing. We spent actually the whole 2 hours with me and Will. Will, he's a jazz musician, and he's an all-around musician, all-around genre musician. He has his own show that comes on Thursdays. I believe he's in New York now. He's doing a tribute to Prince.
He's back. He's on Monday nights and Thursday nights at 8 p.m.
Okay, he's on Thursday nights. Listen, wait. You're not listening to the...
Dang.
I'm laughing thinking about it. You got to listen to the Listen Wrong With You game we play with him. I was starting not to play it, but he was so, intense in the interview about his music. I was like, I got to play this game with him. And I was sure enough right. Because when I tell you, when we got to that Patty and Aretha, it exploded. Like, what? I can't hold it in. I was sitting there laughing. He got so worked up. I got him so worked up with that Aretha one. I was sitting there trolling him. I was like, let me keep picking at it and see where I can get. And I hit that hot button and he was going in. Well,
am I
was he not getting fired up on that
Arista
versus Patty?
Oh, yeah. It was an all-out debate.
He was debating.
Yeah, that be getting people right there. People be getting upset about that one.
Oh, man. It's my judgmental game, but it was so funny. I can't wait to post that one. I'm still editing it to put on the website. Oh, I was crying. I was trying not to like laugh while he was on, and then he was like, he got so into it. I was like, I'm afraid to die. When I told him what's wrong with you, he was mad. That's what got him. When I told him, Will, didn't that stoke the flames there when I told him he got what's wrong with you?
When I told him
something was wrong with him, he was like, really? Really? And he got mad. He was into it. That was funny.
Yeah, you're pouring gasoline on the fire.
I poured gasoline on the fire and it went up. That's when it really happened, Whitney, when I said that. I told him there's something wrong with him and I kept going. And he's like, are you going to let me talk? He's like, I'm the guest, ain't I? I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I love this. This is amazing. I love this. This is fantastic. I love getting people impassioned. You see how, you know, the guests get so impassioned about it. I love it. That's why
they do. Because
they don't like being judged. People don't like being judged on their musical taste, but that's the whole purpose of the game for me, judging musical taste. And then, cause I want to hear the truth. Cause some of y'all say, oh, that's my, I love it. Some of y'all just pick it just for general purposes. Not saying all, I'm just saying some do it. And so I'm trying to make you think about that. It doesn't make it rigged for make you think about the choice you pick. Cause a lot of people don't do that. They just like, I just like it. And they can't name me like 5 songs in it. Like if you play more of that, then that you should pick like 5 songs, and they did it. And most of them do. That's why I add new rules to it, because I just be thinking of it while they be talking. I'm like, name me 5 songs. And she named, Ava named 5 songs. And so,
she was on it. She was ready.
But yeah, that was the update, Whitney, that you missed. That blow for that What's Wrong With You game last week was funny to me. Like, I was dying laughing. That junk was hilarious. But yeah, we had Sherwill on. Hopefully you'll listen to Whitney whenever I post it. I should post it.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to do it today, but I got so caught up doing other stuff that I didn't have time to post it today. And so, yeah, that's the update. We had Sherwill on last week to Whitney and other listeners that if you didn't tune in, I'm getting ready to post that. But, yeah, all the other – I forgot to post the other shows. The rest of the shows are posted, everybody, that goes to soulsavage.com. All the shows are archived from the past few weeks. We had Mr. Lee Trevor, music producer, on, and the Raheem Devon interviews posted on. So all those are posted on there. I didn't promote it on, I think the only place I didn't promote it on was Facebook. I think I need to do that because a lot of y'all look for it on Facebook. And I'm going to be on Facebook like that. It's like, it's just, Facebook is just a thing where your Facebook cousins is on there just to clock out of their job and it annoy me. And I don't have time to hear y'all argue about stuff that don't matter. Should women pay half of the dinner bill when you go out on the first? Like, why do I have to be entertained by that? No.
People still asking that.
They still ask it on Twitter too, but it's more variety. I follow more variety on Twitter. I can really block that. I can't unfollow, you know, somebody on Facebook because people get mad about that. It's like, dang, why you gotta make it personal? I'm trying to get out of Facebook, but I'm telling y'all, if it wasn't for this show, I wouldn't even have Facebook. Where I have to promote stuff, I wouldn't even have it because it's a waste of my time. You know what I'm getting addicted to, Whitney?
What?
It's becoming a real addiction. That's why I'm glad I took a 2-week break because I'm really addicted to it. Instagram. I'm addicted to it. I love it. Instagram story. Oh my God. I found my little niche. I found it's like a certain thing that I do on there. Like I do happy birthday posts to my favorite musical artists. And I do like little funny commentary on TV shows that I'm watching and people are entertained by it. I just keep posting them because people like it. And I'm doing this new thing now to where I figured out like how to do music appreciation posts and I'm like getting like 15 minutes. I mean, not 15 minutes cause Instagram, I mean 15 seconds. 15 second videos. I'm just getting them and editing them and I'm like breaking down like the music. Like I did a Faith Evans, her sophomore album, Keep the Faith, it turned 20 a couple weeks ago, and so I was just taking clips from there, because I like to show appreciation, I break down like why you should have this album, and then get people to listen to it, so they can go listen to the album, and so I take like cuts from the album that I like, and then post it on there, and then that's how I do it, and then I did one for our cousin, Juana, whatever. I did one for her. Her birthday was last week, and I did that and took her down memory lane to her high school years and stuff like that. I was bringing out, like, No Limit artist records and stuff. She was like, yo, that was the jam. I was like, I know. Like, this was, we were
right.
Like, this was all kinds of wrong. And then we were talking about how Uncle used to, play he would switch out, like he listened to like the most hardcore explicit music like all throughout, like No Limit, like all those records that was like had half naked girls, like all you had to do is change the rapper out. It was the same background drop.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Like my uncle had all them CDs and so they say I can't say it on the radio, but it's all explicit. The P word, the B word, all up the two records. He listened to that Monday through Saturday. Come Sunday morning, he still got it in there. He like, almost forgot. He take it out and put in Key Sweat, talk about, can you sex me like, Like, wait, I like that. How deep is your love? Like, he thinks that's the appropriate switch out music for going to church, because he don't listen to gospel music.
Wow.
Every Sunday, I call him a wife. Every Sunday, in his 89 Cutlass, or his 95 truck, Chevy truck. We listen to Keith Sweat every Sunday morning going to church. I promise on life. I'm not making that up. Like, he thought Keith Sweat was gospel music.
What?
That's what he thinking, but he just thought it was appropriate. Like, that was better.
For a Sunday? Oh. I mean, it is, technically, I guess, you know. Like, Keith Sweat don't be saying don't say it the way the rapper say it. He tried to be a little more smooth. So I see where he was going, I guess.
He said, how deep is your love? And he was saying, Kenny, who can say you like me? Nobody. Like, what? That's my talk about sex, sir. Like, that's my appropriate. But that was just funny. But, yeah, it's so much that happened through the week. I think once Will comes back, we'll do his 6 minutes of rage. I didn't have that much savvy updates. We almost out of time, but we're going to do 6 minutes of rage. Or, Will, you back yet? Because we're going to do that and then talk of, I guess we're going to spend the rest of the time. If you want to, Will, we can actually take a break real quick and then you can do 6 minutes of rage. So then we're just going to end the show talking about, all the politic news. There's so many updates that keep happening. Every time I keep getting alerts on my phone, there's so many updates to talk about with this, election and all this. A lot of great things were happening, and then there's just so much news. But Will, are you back yet from getting your Pinot Grigio? You remember I told you, Whitney, that he goes every 7 minutes, and so he got knocked back. Actually, it's probably Jack Daniels. He got knocked back to Jack Daniels.
Oh, he switched to Jack Daniels. Is that because it's fall now? You need the more that smooth, nice
probably,
chill.
You know what? He big balling over there at the studio W Buzz. He probably got that new limited edition Crown Royal sea salt caramel that I keep seeing everybody. Got the sea salt caramel crown apple or Crown Royal little whiskey. Or brown liquor.
Crown been on it with these flavors.
You know what? I ain't drunk Crown Royal since I was knee deep in my early 20s, but you know what? That don't sound that bad.
Now, I got the Crown Apple. I keep that one.
That's all right. That one made my liver, it feel like my it made me, I can't get it out.
Okay.
It makes, when I drink Crown Apple, it makes my liver feel like it's about to jump out. Cause
what? Okay, yeah, don't drink it, man.
It's like an immediate regurgitation. Because I drink so much of it, like I drink the whole bottle.
You don't get that feeling with almost anything if you're drinking the whole bottle.
No, it's just with Crown Apple. Because I've drunk all kind of stuff. I drank a whole Patron bottle and still was going later and then woke up.
And your liver was fine with that, but not Crown Apple.
Yeah, when I was drinking Patron and stuff like that, like Clear Vodka, I would just wake up, like sleep in somebody's bathroom with my face. it was that kind of party.
Okay.
Man, I had some wild times, man. I can't believe I
survived. We all did.
Like, how did I survive this? Like,
Man, you can do certain stuff when you're younger. It's when you start getting older, like that stuff. It hits you in a different way. Like people don't know until it happens. Because I was like that too. Like, oh, I'm straight. And then there was a couple times I was like, yo, I'm not recovering as fast as I used to from this. So must be time for me to chill out.
One of my siblings, I took them out for their birthday. They had I bought them like a margarita and a shot of Patron or something like this. Was like a long time ago, like a decade ago, and they were like acting like they were super drunk. I'm like, you had a whole margarita and a shot. Like I'm on my fourth one and I ain't felt one yet. You already drunk off of one. Just lightweight. I was borderline alcoholic because I was just drinking it. I always used to go crazy with it because I remember I'd go to college classes. I would take them in the morning so I could, you know, work at night or whatever. And I promise you every morning I would get like a apple juice slush and get some vodka and pour it in there and take it to class with me, man. I'd be told up. I didn't know if I had a brain freeze.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like both things.
Wow.
It was a great show. But, yeah, that's how I used to go to class, drunk, like get a cranberry slush or apple slush and put some vodka in it, like one of them hotel vodkas in there. Put two of them in there because I would get a Route 44,
wow.
or Route 44, however you say it, a Sonic cup,
mm-hmm.
and get like one of them Route 44s and get two little hotel bottles of liquor and just pour it in there, and I'd be drunk for class. That's how you
Wow.
That was like every morning, and like I was drinking it like it was juice or something, like it was orange juice. Like, yes, let's have a vodka.
Did anybody notice?
No, you can't smell it because I had it mixed in there with the slushy. And so
True.
You can't tell. I was like, I had a vodka slushy every morning. I didn't know if I had a brain freeze or if I was drunk.
Both.
Like,
both.
Right, exactly. Both time frames that. We'll be back at so we can do the six. We're going to go to break again and then do the 6 minutes of rage so we can cap this show off. Are you back yet from drinking your brown liquor yet?
See, you know, that's slander.
I'm just asking. I just want to know. You said 7 minutes to drink your alcohol. I just want to know when you finished drinking yet so we can go to break again and do your 6 minutes of rage.
I was enjoying Whitney talking and then hearing you rambling.
Hilarious. All this change going on. We ready for break. Y'all get into the room real quick. Then get my appreciation all show. We'll be back here.
Trouble little angel. Inconsistent flying blind. Most of the time, drama queen, reading and untangling feathers in her wings, captured by her dreams, desperately she sings.
Angel, Chaka Khan. And we're back to the Soul Shabby Show with QB and Q Lynn, I'm sorry. I said QB.
QB.
We must be missing EB. We're missing EB.
I know, right?
And Whitney.
I'll send wherever he at. I ain't gonna crack no jokes.
Oh.
Okay? See how much respect I got? I ain't gonna crack no jokes.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know what he's doing. I think he's going to another concert. I'm not sure. He could be laid up in bed. I don't know. Or taking a break or whatever. He might be on vacation from work. I don't know, but.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to him wherever he's doing. Hopefully he's listening, or he might be at a show or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like 9 o'clock, almost 9 o'clock over there. That's crazy. But we're gonna get to Will Six Minutes of Race, so we run out of time. But or you could just do your little rapper, or however you want to do it. Will, you go ahead. 6 minutes of Race.
Let's get it.
Will. Let's go.
Let's get it right now. 6 minutes of Rage, folks, on the Soul Savage Show. Yep. Let's get to it. Oh my God. Goons, thugs, sex, rock and roll. Oh yeah. Hey, that's what this show is all about tonight. Hey,
what?
All right. Hey, speaking of autocracies, do you know that 45 just appointed a new acting AG, a new acting G, somebody by the name of Whitaker? Well, you know, you can't, anybody by the name of Whitaker, you can't trust him. Hey, look, this cat is already hung up in a scandal. A scandal. Have you guys heard about that? A scandal saying that he was involved with this scam that embezzled people or cheated them out of $26 million. And, you know, wonder why this guy is always surrounding himself by goons, or around goons. I can't understand it. Oh, three wives. Chain migration. Oh, boy. Do you know that he cheated on his first wife with his second wife with his third wife with Stormy Daniel and Karen McDougal? Oh, my God. Boy, is that morality for you? The 14th Amendment. Hey, this guy also wants to tamper with the 14th Amendment. Did you know that? Saying that, okay, just because you're born here, if you come over here and you're born here, doesn't mean that you're going to be a citizen anymore. Like, he can change that. Oh, did you ever check that his Florida properties, and they advertise in Russia? Hey, couples, come on down. If you're expecting to have a baby, come on down to Florida to one of my properties, and that way you can have a baby. Well, but I thought he didn't want people coming in from other countries having babies. Oh, the hypocrisy there. Voter suppression, big time, big time. Folks, it just came out today. It could be Rampart for massive fraud in Palm Beach and Broward County in Florida. And we also know what's going on in Georgia. Do you know that goon Kemp tried to block on Corman? Let's see who I'm talking about. I am talking about running in Florida. Help me out a little bit. Abrams. Stacey Abrams, she's running for governor. You guys know that the first black female in Florida could be the governor. But, you know, there was a little hung up at the polls. Do you know the same clown who was overseeing the polls there, he also failed to deliver cords to certain black precincts for the voting machines. They delivered the machines, but there were no power cords. I understand also, and I have to vet this information though, there were hundreds of machines that were supposed to be delivered into the black areas. Oh, they were locked up in a warehouse. Oh, and it's also close in Florida. Andrew Gillum, I understand there might be another runoff. There's going to be a runoff. Oh, and they're supposed to be back in Florida. Let's get back to that. December 4th. It's supposed to be another election, so Stacey's not out of it, and Andrew's not out of it also. And there's a controversy going on right now that the Senate race in Florida, I mentioned it before, Palm Beach and Broward County. Keep your eyes on that, folks. The tax bill. Oh, that tax bill that was supposed to help all of us. If you got a cool $30 a month of your paycheck, I guess you are happy, aren't you? At least you can go to McDonald's and then get yourself maybe a half a tank of gas. Maybe that'll help out. And how about these spokes holes? I didn't say spoke holes. I'm talking about these spokes holes. That is on the Republican Party. Anything this guy says, it goes out there and they just repeat it. They repeat this garbage for you folks. But let's get back to this voter suppression thing here. This really fries my butt. Tell you why. Because, You have people that died so we can have the right to vote. Now, you have some people that don't vote. I guess that's your right. But you cannot and you should not suppress their vote. And how come it always happens in the black neighborhoods, huh? I guess they didn't have the right address. Gerrymandering, you guys know what that's all about. That's how they divide these cities up. So, hey, your vote, their vote will count, but yours won't. They always do that. The same thing with that rigged, doggone electoral college. That's how this clown got in office in the first place. All right? The fourth thing I'm talking about, the electoral college. We already know that that is rigged. Now, chain migration. Let's get back to chain migration. Trump does not want chain migration, does he? Now, that means that if you come from a foreign country and you can bring and you become naturalized over here, you can bring a relative and then it can join the party. Guess what? Melania Trump. Oh, guess what? She came over and guess what? She married this cat and I guess she became a citizen. Now, her parents also became naturalized citizens this year. How funny is that? And he doesn't call it chain migration when it comes to them. He calls it family reunification. Whatever you call this, it is a scam, folks. But I'm glad that the women got out. The women showed there and did their thing here this past Tuesday. They got out in forces. Now, also, if you turn on your TV, you can look at New York City right now. And they are protesting in large numbers. Why? Because this guy decided he wanted to put in a brand new acting AG. You know why he wants to do that? Because this guy, whatever his name is, he already said last year before he came to the White House that he thought that the Russia probe was going on too long and that he would not allow any subpoenas for Trump. But this guy has put this guy in office and made Rosenstein made him step down as acting to he won't be acting to AG because guess what? Sessions was fired yesterday. And so in natural order of things, then Rosenstein was supposed to be the new AG. But guess what? Trump stepped in there and like in all the messes that he does. And he did that. So Whitney, Q Lynn, this voter suppression, this thing has gotten under my skin. But I tell you
man,
what.
You hit right on. You know what? You know the crazy thing is? That's what I was going to talk about. We could get updates about it. They're actually getting ready to recount. So the governor race in Georgia and Florida, the race, governor race with DeSantis and Andrew Gillum, they're getting ready to recount those, even though he conceded, but that's not legally bounded. And so they're going to recount those votes. They updated that earlier in another update in the governor race in Georgia with Stacey Abrams. And actually, another update, breaking news, that Grant, he's actually the Secretary of State of Georgia. He's getting ready. He resigned, and so he's not going to be over that. And like you said, I'm glad you mentioned, they had over 700 voting machines locked in a warehouse. What the? Oh, man, I want to cut so bad. I got my five words. But I'm saving for Trump because I got something for him. I'm going to use all four of them for Trump. But that is ridiculous that they did all that. Voter suppression is real, but I'm glad that they got people on it and people updating on everything that they're trying to do. All those votes that's there, and like you said, it's predictable that it's in the black neighborhoods. They're not doing it. And the gerrymandering, what he's talking about, that's why I wasn't 100% on the senator that the Democrats is going to win the Senate. I was confident in the, I was just worried about the House. That's the only thing I was worried about.
Right.
The Senate,
right.
I was just from the statistics that all the journalists were saying, they wasn't confident just from, like you said, the gerrymandering with those states, it's a lot of rural counties. And a lot of people don't know that in certain states or whatever. But the thing is that a lot of those were flipped. Some of those Senate seats in the House districts were flipped that were Republicans. That were pure red, like Kansas. They got a Democratic governor. You know how crazy that is? And then also, in Oklahoma, Texas, those races were close too. And then I saw somebody on Twitter say that they need to count the votes for the governor race with Ted Cruz. I mean, not Ted Cruz. Why the hell am I getting that wonderful man mixed up with this Pinocchio nose, this fake Latino Ted Cruz. I don't know why I'm getting the actor Ted Cruz mixed up with Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz, looks like something I stepped on outside, like that looked like a woodpecker at the base.
And Evie,
But yeah, they need to recount the theirs. I hope they do that too with Beto.
You know what?
Right, exactly. I just don't want Ted Cruz. I'm like, now what I really felt passionate about was DeSantis. I don't want him to win with that all that crap he was doing. Oh my God, I didn't want. So they're supposed to be doing it now. They're recounting the votes, and people that had provisionary ballots, they didn't count those either. And so they're still counting those. I think they're supposed to be having something on December 4th to where they can re-vote again, Georgia.
Yep, they're going to have a whole new election. Q-Lynn, I'm sorry, we're going to have to wrap this up because
thank y'all for tuning to Soul Savage Radio. We'll be back next Thursday. We're doing an all-out battle.
Evie's
coming back, and we're doing a Faith Evans versus Mary J. Blige, the whole show. Sorry, Will, we can't do the 6 minutes of race. Also, I was hoping we had more time so we could do the political talk, but we're doing the whole out music thing. We're doing it like a boxing match. So this is a Royal Rumble going on next week of a heavyweight champions of singers. And so we'll be back next week. My Savvy Heathen talk is that Ted Cruz, DeSantis, and the Secretary of State of Georgia looks like all uncircumcised penis. That's what they look like. Trump looks like a whip on top of his head. Okay, that's what.
Oh my gosh.
You're talking about with the reporter kicked out, you're disrespectful to my secretary that does all my bidding, my evil bidding for me. You're so evil. He should have said likewise, motherfucker. All right, we out. Big Jim White, y'all. Another Big Jim White hit. Let it be higher than this. We out, y'all. We'll be back next Thursday.
Coming up.
Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. We out, y'all.
Coming up, Mr. Melody and Mellow Moves. Stay tuned.
Light that reflects in the mirror.